Welcome back to Question Medicine, where we are asking medical questions and giving medical answers based on recent medical literature. And today's question is, what is the risk of aspirin? What is the risk of just giving a little aspirin here and there? I have talked about it on Question Medicine many times before that you probably should not be giving aspirin for primary prevention. You should probably not be giving aspirin if they just have a low CHADS VASC for atrial fibrillation. The reason being is that aspirin has a side effect. Aspirin has a harm to it. And if you're not getting the desired benefit from the drug, but you're still eligible for the harm, well, then you're just eligible for a whole bunch of harm. So the question of today is, how harmful is just a little aspirin? How harmful can an aspirin really be? You ponder that question, and I'll be back in 15 seconds. Andrew Bilt, sunny St. Petersburg, Florida. Let's do this thing, shall we? Today's question is, how harmful could an aspirin really be? The evidence for this comes from a paper titled Apixaban to Prevent Recurrence After Cryptogenic Stroke in Patients with Atrial Cardiomyopathy in JAMA. This is 2024. The month was February. Now, you might notice that the title there talks about atrial fibrillation and anticoagulation and apixaban and atrial cardiomyopathy. And you might be saying to yourself, wait a second. I thought that this was all about aspirin. Well, it is all about aspirin when you really dig into the details. I'll tell you, the overall question here was, what was the rate of recurrent stroke risk with apixaban versus aspirin in individuals with atrial cardiomyopathy, but no evidence of atrial fibrillation? So they had a little bit of dysfunction, a little bit of structural or functional dysfunction or abnormalities on their imaging. The atria was not quite as we would want it to be, but there was no imaging or no concerns or no findings of atrial fibrillation. If the atrium was just a little bit off, but there was no findings of atrial fibrillation, would the patient benefit from apixaban or aspirin? The standard of care in someone that has a stroke and no atrial fibrillation, someone that has a stroke and even a little bit of atrial abnormalities, is to give aspirin. But hopefully, the drug companies were hoping that maybe we could give a DOAC. Maybe we could give full-fledged anticoagulation, baby. Well, that was not the case. There was no difference in this study at almost 2 years of follow-up in the stroke rates or recurrent stroke rates in those individuals who received aspirin or those individuals that received full-based DOAC. The event rate was about 4.5% to 5% per year. But the devil is in the detail, as I always say. Because when you go to the harms, you will find that even though this trial only ran for 1.8 years, there were seven symptomatic intracranial hemorrhages among those individuals that were randomized to aspirin. They were only on aspirin and they had seven in almost 2 years intracranial hemorrhages. There was only 1,000 people in this trial. The number needed to harm for aspirin is not minimal. It's not nothing. It's not non-existent. It really does exist. So if your patient does not need aspirin, then they shouldn't be on aspirin. I think for me, the ultimate takeaway, bottom line, is individuals in this trial who were randomized to aspirin had seven intracranial hemorrhages after roughly 2 years of follow-up before the study was ultimately terminated. This is concerning, but this also brings to the point that aspirin is not benign, and if the patient doesn't need it, then they probably shouldn't get it. If you like this podcast, then please give it a review. But I know, I'm just like you. I don't give every podcast a review. So let's just be honest. If you like the podcast, just share it with a friend so we can all be a little bit better, one question at a time. And with that, I will end this podcast as I've ended every single one before it. Wait for the music. Until next time, keep the quest in questioning.